Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 627. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I didn't realize MAGA stood for My Ass Got Arrested.
Earl is here.
Chris is just like, I'm not going to touch that one.
I don't know how.
I mean, because they're going after your favorite president.
Chris. I'm sorry that offended you. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
If you're offended by my joke, I'm not sorry. Sorry. I'm
not offended. It's just...
Speaking of, I'm not offended or sorry. Apparently, his wife has not been around for any of this. So I mean, she's just like, yeah, I can feed a country soon.
Well, she's like, how can I seize his assets while he's in prison? Like. I'd be looking at the upside of this.
Yeah. Yeah, because like if she sticks around, like, oh, I'm still married to him, but all of this stuff is now mine because he's not here.
I will say, but they are an order party. They really do not take you all in order. Are you sort of surprised, like, you know, how it should be?
Yeah, that's you know, rules for the rest of us, not for them. So.
Yes.
Jeff is here.
Hello.
And so, Jeff, you and Tony are having a disagreement on
cereal beef.
on cereal. Can you catch Earl and I up on that?
All right, so I posted, because you know I've been watching like endless president tier list videos. I posted a president tier list video, like the screenshot of like their finalized cereal list. And Earl, you could go back and scroll back in the chat and find it. But I essentially said that, like, oh, they did a pretty good job on this one. They're like, you know, there's things I would disagree with. I thought they put Apple Jacks too high and Honey a Bunch of Oats too low. And Tony, like, fucking got on his high horse, his elitist horse, from his ivory tower and fucking decried
the fucking
list.
It's not what it is. There are things on that list that I enjoy and that I would eat, but not as cereal. It's not.
First of all.
You're like, no, listen for a second. You're comparing, like, actual food to like a fucking candy bar you put in a bowl. You're like, of course you like that more. Of course it's great, but it's not food. It's not something you should eat for breakfast.
First of all, I think cereals.
I think there are two categories here. There is actual cereal, and then there is this junk food cereal, which I eat as dessert. Like, I'm not gonna pour myself a bowl of Fruit Loops and tell myself I'm having a good breakfast. That is not a breakfast.
It's the point is not whether it's good breakfast or not, that we're ranking cereals. And,
I mean,
but you are comparing two completely different things to each other.
I disagree.
You both have a fundamental disagreement on the definition of, like, Tony is looking at it. This, like, cereal is what you should eat for breakfast.
Yeah,
that's not the point.
And Jeff's like, if it's in the fucking cereal aisle, it's cereal.
There's a whole lot of stuff in that cereal aisle that's not cereal at all. It's just, I don't know.
No, they are all cereal. It's just whether it's a healthy or not for you cereal, that's a different discussion. But Earl, are you here? Are you with us?
Yes.
All right. let me read you the S tiers, because, like, I really think that they nailed it on the S tier. S tier, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Fine.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Sure.
Good.
Cocoa Krispies.
Man.
Not a
fan. No. Wow. I could not disagree with you guys more on the Cocoa Krispies.
Keep going.
Fruity Pebbles.
Also, no.
Not a fan. Same
thing. Huge disagree. Frosted Flakes.
Yes.
Sure.
And finally, and this is the one I disagree with, because I don't think it deserves to be up there, is Cocoa Pebbles. I think Fruity Pebbles deserves to be there, but not Cocoa Pebbles.
Okay.
But I'm really surprised I'm the only Fruity Pebbles addict on here, because
I don't like Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles, or I don't really like Rice Krispies either.
Yeah, I got it. Because they don't. It's the milk to cereal ratio that they don't do well.
I think Cocoa Krispies is so S tier to me. Cocoa Krispies, not the Pebbles. Cocoa Krispies.
We're going back to. I think for me, like, it's very much what Earl just said, but, like, I don't, when I eat cereal, I mostly eat it dry. Like, I just eat it as a snack.
I do a lot. I do that, too.
And, like, you can't really eat Rice Krispies.
No, you can't.
Fruity Pebbles dry.
Rice Krispies are all about, you have to have the milk in there. You need the snap and the crackle and the pop.
Yeah.
Like, without that, you're missing the experience.
And I don't like milk, and I don't like wet food, so cold wet food.
I'm kind of with you on, like, here's the only time I consume milk is with cereal. And I will also eat cereal dry often. I have no problem eating any of those cereals I used to try.
Like Tony was saying, like it's like candy. Like, that's how I eat it. I eat it like with a bag of candy.
I think Cocoa Krispies is so good. And then anyone who has had the bowel issues that I've had, like...
should not be eating any of these.
No. Like, rice is very soft on your stomach when you need like a bland food, and so Cocoa Krispies is like, it was like a godsend for a while for me.
I get that. That makes
sense. So your defense is that it's bland, so it's good.
No, but that they don't mean it bland. They mean it bland as in like it's
not acidic.
It's easy, like, for your stomach. But yeah, like the things that Tony wanted up top, they had at the bottom.
No. Like, I did not say I wanted them up top. That is not bad.
They had rice. Rice
cuts belong in D. Like, move them up at least one.
Rice Krispies are not D tier. I'm sorry.
Here's why rice checks should be D, because Crispix exists. Because Crispix has the two sides. It has the corn side and the rice side. You get it both.
I don't like Crispix. You're crazy.
They
can't decide if they want to be sweet or they want to be like...
That's what's great about it.
Grainy, you get both. And, yeah, because I don't want both. It's kind of weird flavor. I would rather just have Rice Krispies.
But also, on this list, Jeff, they don't have... What was it called?
Crispix? They don't have Crispix. I was kind of sad about that, because for me, that's like an A-tier one. That's one I like. I don't really have any huge nitpicks besides what I said. Like, I think Apple Jacks should not be A-tier. Like,
you drop that down maybe two.
Yeah, they're bad.
C-tier at best.
I like Apple Jacks.
I don't. I like it when I'm eating it, but I never, ever crave it. Like,
I don't crave it, but I do enjoy when I eat it. Yes.
I don't think they're not D or F. Like, they're edible.
Like, it's not like my first choice, but...
Remember when you were kids, and then I think it's still, like, they sell, like, those multi-pack things with, like, the different little, like, one bowl of cereal out of? Apple Jacks would always be saved for last, because fuck Apple Jacks.
Yeah, when I do that, I always eat the one I don't like first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because then I have
no, either one. It's going at one of the ends.
Which end is it going out of, Jeff?
Well, he just said he had pooper issues. I'm kind of curious about my boy. Where did Raisin Bran come in?
Raisin Bran came in D tier.
What are there two different types of Raisin Bran here?
It looks like the one might be like... two scoop Raisin Bran, where you just get more,
which is better. That's better than regular Raisin Bran, which is just like dry cereal and little bit of raisins.
Again, if you don't like milk, like I don't think eating Raisin Bran is not going to be a good experience.
It makes it so, like, that bran cereal gets so wet and floppy.
Yeah, I like the Raisin Bran crunch. The flakes and Raisin Bran crunch hold up better. But
crunch, okay.
Yeah. I don't know that it's crunch in the thing. I think it's literally Raisin Bran and then like the two scoop Raisin Bran with extra raisins.
I do appreciate the cereals that stay hard even after you give them like milk.
Yeah.
What, like, are you doing with these cereals? Like,
there's ones that like have some staying power. Like, there's ones that get soggy immediately, like Fruity Pebbles. You got like a minute to fucking get through that shit. And then there's the ones that like stay hard, like fucking Captain Crunch. It's like fucking little like rocks.
Sexual conversation.
He wants his cereal hard at all.
But like,
he's got to get through that cereal in a minute, or else it's over.
All right.
You ever had?
Yeah, I was gonna say a few final notes. For me, Lucky Charms is S tier. They put it in A. For me, mini shredded mini wheats is S tier. They put it in A, but that's fine. You know, they're up there. The only other like egregious thing to me is like I don't like Honey Bunches of Oats being in B tier because that's an S tier for me as well. Honey Bunches of Oats with almonds. Cereal's good. I like cereal, and
I adore cereal. I think it's great. There's two categories. That's the thing that bothers me about this entire tier thing.
Snack cereal and and breakfast cereal.
Yes,
they're both pretty much the same thing. It's just a difference.
It's like, do you want a candy bar or do you want this? I don't know. Loaf of bread, and of course you take the candy bar if you're just going.
They all have carbs.
You can't on a candy bar.
Okay,
they're
so
all
I mean,
kind of the same. There's just some that are really high in sugar.
I'm almost 45 years old. I think I've lived on candy bars.
I'm curious, what is Chris and Tony's S tier? Like, what is your one?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch up there for sure.
Yes.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yes.
Probably is.
See,
I like Frosted Mini Wheats. I don't eat them with milk, but like I'll just eat them out of the bag.
That's
the
normal one that stays hard for a little bit. Then they get super soggy.
We need to buy the
if I'm going to my tiers or my two systems here,
yeah.
If I'm going to actual cereal, I love Cheerios, adore them, could eat them every day.
You would take them over Honey Nut.
I would. I like.
I love
I like
Honey Nut in my mouth.
I think they're great. Oh my gosh.
Jesus.
If I'm going like dessert cereals, Count Chocula.
Yeah, I can't go above A with. I love Count Chocula, but I can't go above A with it because it's too much.
I prefer the other monsters, like blueberry and frankenberry, but Count Chocula is good.
Fruit Brute up in this bitch.
Yeah, Fruit Brute.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Cookie Crisp was good.
Cookie Crisp, I used to love back in the day. I haven't had it forever. Cause that's another one. That's one where like I will agree with Tony. That feels like you're eating like candy, because it's fucking little cookies.
Cap'n Crunch with the berries. I both love and hate that. That is like eating fiberglass. Like the way it feels. But it is also like crack. Like you just can't stop eating.
There's a lot like of these ones I haven't had since I was a kid. Like Trix. I haven't had Trix in ages. Like
Trix, I don't like. Trix is the worst fruit cereal. I would agree with Chris about Captain Crunch, but like my thing is, I like the classic regular Captain Crunch. I don't want peanut butter. I don't want berries.
Oh, no. Don't give me the don't give me the peanut
give
butter.
Give me the classic little hard little pillows in my mouth.
That you like it. Oh god!
You don't want the berries in your mouth.
No, I don't like the berries. I know some people have a berries fetish. Like, isn't it like
a fetish?
There's a berries only.
You can get the berry only one.
Yeah. No way, dude. That's those things are gross.
Yeah, that's too much.
I like just the regular Captain Crunch. Like, I think that's an underrated cereal, honestly.
What are Golden Crisps? I've had them.
Oh, no, they're not good. They're not good. Okay.
You know what is legit, and I don't think it's on the list, is Golden Grahams. That's pretty legit.
Yeah, Golden Grahams are good. I don't dislike Honey Smacks. They have them in D tier. Like, they're like that. They're like Apple Jacks. It's like, I will eat this if I have to.
Yeah. And actually, those are ones I would rather just eat out of the box.
They look like little beans, but whatever. Yeah. They're like sweet little beans. And corn pops are all right too.
Flick those little beans in your mouth.
The ones that aren't on here that I really like, it's a cereal called Cracklin' Oat Bran. I don't know if you ever had that.
Oh, I've had. Oh.
Yeah, so like that is like it's, and that's one that does not get soggy. Like that is one that keeps its crunch if you put it in milk. It's probably the only one I will drink in milk because otherwise it's maybe an inedible. they're too hard. It's like eating like rocks, but they taste great.
That's what I like, is like when they're super hard, you gotta soften them up.
Yes, we've got it. You like it when it's hard. I think everybody on this podcast has figured that out.
Anyways, I thought like they came. I thought they did, you know, something. Some of these tier lists, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I thought they did okay. I guess Tony does not approve of the candy cereal, but like again, like I don't know what you would want to remove out of the S tier there outside of like what Fruity Pebbles, which you know I think are to me they're like really
no they're not. It's like the dust made from other what?
Yeah, a little bit. I like it.
All right. Well,
that was fun. We did a little cereal tier list. We are fully into tier lists now.
Breakfast cereal tier list.
We are very into video game talk on this show.
Yeah. Before we move off of food, my family and I are going to be reviewing Peeps on Easter.
I saw that you guys have a peep fetish, and here's the thing about peeps.
I hate them. They are gross. I think we all hate disgusting. Them, actually.
Then why? They are very disgusting. That's why I don't just understand. Sugar.
Like,
well, they're like... Now they started flavoring them, so...
Yeah, isn't there a cereal or something, too?
So you're all going to sit down and...
A soda.
This sucks. This yeah, sucks which, even more.
So you're going to sit down and D-tier, eat peeps, D-tier. Which you hate. Yeah, and then
exactly. I wait.
While I want all I want for Christmas plays in the background. Is that like?
Yeah. That'll make my wife super happy. Yeah, like there's some like really gross flavors too, like kettle corn. Like who wants marshmallows tasting like popcorn? And there's a Peep soda. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's what I was. Okay, it's like Coke or something like that, right? It's
Pepsi. Yeah, my wife got a case of it for us to try as well. I'm not looking forward to that. But yeah, Dr. Pepper flavored peeps and cinnamon, like the hot tamales candy flavored peeps. Like, those might be all right. We'll see. Anyway, video games.
Sure.
Rumor out there that Sony is working on a new handheld. The rumor is that it is going to be a remote play system. What do you guys think on that? You in for a PlayStation remote play handheld?
No. Have they fixed their network yet? Is it remote play even
No.
So we're all like this doesn't make sense.
No, I mean it's just a rumor, so it's probably not real. I hope.
But, I mean, it's not that it doesn't make sense, it's just a weird. Because I mean, as far as I could tell, it's Steam Deck essentially, right? But yeah, you need a PlayStation.
Yeah, but like, yeah. I guess for me, it wouldn't make sense at all because I don't have a PlayStation. So.
Although the Steam Deck plays stuff natively.
Well, that's what I meant. It's like if that's what I was gonna say. Like if it didn't, if you didn't need it, like if it was essentially the Switch Lite, which is like, oh, you can't play console mode, but you can play everything that the Switch offers in that. That's fine, but the fact that this seems to be like, oh, this is just a PlayStation.
Yeah, just a PlayStation, and you have to stream. So it's basically like the phone app, right? Like, because you can stream games to your phone. It's just that, but handheld, and specifically for just like Sony branded, and I don't know. I guess we'll hear more if this is real. There were some reporters that I kind of follow that I trust that were talking about it like it might be legit. So we'll see.
It's also weird. I mean, it's not weird, I guess. But I feel like it makes sense. But it also feels like this generation is still just getting started, even though both of these systems are, what, going to be 3 years old this year?
Yeah.
3 years old with a half year worth of games.
Yeah, we're three 3 years in.
That's why, and this will be the fourth holiday. That's why it feels like this generation is just getting started. But I mean, that is kind of when they tend to do the refreshes. It's like 4 or 5 years in, but it feels like this generation hasn't really got out of first gear.
It's like hasn't got out of the gate yet on fucking. You know,
like up until recently, most games have been, you know, they've been straddling that line of last gen and current gen, and I think like. More recently, we're starting to see stuff, and what the new Star Wars game is only current gen. It's also ridiculously sized, like what's
135 gigabytes?
Yeah, massive, ridiculous size.
The only thing I'm not, the only thing I will say about that so far, I think, is that is just PC, right? I mean, I'm assuming the console versions are going to be similar, but
people were reporting that it's the PlayStation pre-install is that same size as well.
I checked the Xbox one and it's just a megabyte file size, so it's like a pre-order file.
I think Xbox is just like, hey, you bought this. It's basically on that key you buy.
But I am curious because, like, I do think I want the game, but like,
I don't. A lot of space. I'm gonna have to clear some room.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, it's not even like you can do it where it's like, oh, I'm just gonna buy disc. That's what you used to do. It's like, no, this is still gonna be a massive file, no matter how you buy it.
I mean, I guess the good thing is this, you know, a relatively. You know, it's like this adventure that you play through. It's probably 12 hours. But like, here's the thing. How is it 12 hours? I'm just giving it a length. But how is a 12-hour game that fucking huge? That's insane.
It's all uncompressed. Like, they're probably using uncompressed audio, uncompressed visual files. They could do it. Right. They could compress them, and it would be fine. They're just like, we don't need to, because
it's just so annoying though to have to use that amount of data to play a relatively like short game.
Yeah,
well, it's the same thing. I think, you know, it's like everybody wants the state-of-the-art graphics, and this is how you get it. A lot of that I assume is like customization. You know, like you have a bunch of like cosmetic looks for him. His beard length and his beard color, his different hair and costume, and like you need those. Because the people pay attention to that stuff now, but it's getting insane. Where like you're gonna get to the point where like you're. I mean, for example, I assume your Sirius S and your it's like if you have this Call of Duty and Halo Master Chief Collection, that is your system. You are putting nothing else on that device.
Yeah. Because what with the Series S is. What, 500? It's like half the size, right?
Yeah, and then part of that is already taken up by the system OS and stuff like that, so.
It's nuts. Large install files, but. Alright. Some movies came out. I know that, you know, the D&D is not necessarily a video game, but the new movie does take place in the Forgotten Realms, which they mentioned Baldur's Gate in it at one point.
It was so funny because I was watching the movie and I'm like, I knew, but I did not realize how much like D&D in itself is just like this brand. It's like, yes, it takes place in Baldur's Gate. They mentioned Neverwinter several times.
Like that's the main movie that it takes place in.
I'm like, oh, these are all just like sub video games. And I'm like, I knew they had a connection. I'm just like, I did not realize how many tentacles you had in just like fantasy.
Well, that's just like, so the Forgotten Realms where Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter and the Underdark and a lot of like the stuff that people kind of associate with Dungeons and Dragons is it's just one of their like many different universes that they have campaigns in.
Yeah.
But it's the most popular one.
But yeah, like to Earl's point, it does seem like a lot of the action RPG genre is just like derived from D&D. And I have not played D&D, so like I can't like state that as a fact. But like it does seem that way.
I wouldn't even say the action. I wouldn't even say video games. I think most of fantasy is either that or Lord of the Rings. Yeah, that is your two frame
those
reference.
Are the two. Yep.
But Earl, you saw it. I also saw it. What'd you think?
I thought it was an absolute blast. I thought it was a ton of fun. Creative. Some really interesting characters. I thought, you know, like they did a good job of like nothing ever seemed to be too what am I trying to say? Like they didn't spend too much time on one thing. So like you were able to and kind of just move along with.
Yeah, it's very fast paced.
Yeah, and it's over 2 hours, just over 2 hours, I think. Yep. So it doesn't feel that way, but I don't feel like anything's strenuous. I think one of my favorite moments, won't spoil too much, is like It's like RPGs when you get like that one OP character for like that stage who just kicks a bunch of ass, and then the game's like, you had fun with that, right? So they're gonna go, and you're gonna have to do this on your own now. But you see what you could do if you leveled up? And I thought that was a really fun moment.
Yeah, that was fun. Like it's like stuff just like pops out and like, oh, that's cool. That's fun to see. I really like the interaction between the four main party members, and it feels like it almost feels like they are like, if you ever played D&D, it is like how they like, cause like, they're just like, they speak how we would speak if you're playing, like you're not fully in character all the time. And they have like sarcastic quips, and like one of them is just a
fails. You make another fan.
The wizard is terrible, like half the time. Like he is just like completely awful. He knows he's bad, so he's like making comments about how shitty he is. The Chris Pine's character, the bard. He's like useless in battles.
Yes, I was sad at some point. I thought that his ukulele would come in handy. And I mean, it comes in handy, but just not like, I was thinking, like, oh, they're going to do something where, like, again, I don't want to spoil stuff, but there's moments where I'm like, oh, okay, he's going to use it finally to like calm this beast or say this monster. And it's like, nope, it does not have any actual combat purpose outside of like one scene.
Yeah.
I was gonna say something, but like I let you finish your thoughts on the movie.
Yeah, just like I enjoyed the it's fun. Like it is, it doesn't take it's not Lord of the Rings fantasy, right? It's not trying to take itself seriously. It's definitely this kind of over the top goofy humor to it. The action all looks good. It's fun. You know, it's exciting.
I don't want to beat up on this too much because it doesn't have anything to do with it, but it was also kind of like, you know, like a lot of movies kind of have that very quippy Marvel stuff going for it. And I thought like this does some stuff like that, but it's also wise enough to like, I feel like a lot of the laughs are earned in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, actually funny.
Yes. And that's not to say, like, I don't necessarily, but I feel like sometimes Marvel undercuts their scenes with like, haha, we're going to cut it
every time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's where this one, I think a lot of the humor, like one of the things I found really refreshing is, you know, like you tend to have like that stoic character, like Drax and Guardians, who they speak in very literal senses and they don't understand. And that's where the humor derives from. And they have two characters like that in here. And one, they were both very different characters. And two, I didn't think they fit that specific archetype. Like, oh, I don't understand what words are. It's like, no, one is just very literal, and the other one is just blunt and honest. And that was kind of the dichotomy between those two characters and how they interact with others. And they got funny situations outside of that combination.
Yeah. One last thing I want, like I said, you know, kind of feels like they're playing the game, and there are scenes where you see like that. There's one scene in particular about maybe a third of the way through. They're in prison and they're trying to get out, and shit's not going their way. It's not how they planned it. So it's like the dungeon master is holding something back from them until it happens, and then they spring, and it's like absolutely absurd the way it plays out. And like the whole time they're like trying to like stall to get to like what they need, and it's just really really well written. Like it captures playing the game fairly well. So
yes. And then the other thing somebody said that I didn't notice, but I is that what was it that they don't like, oh man, I don't want to talk about it without, but like the big, like kind of the big, you know, the movie's called Honor Among Thieves, but you know, your heroes are going to be heroes. And like the big dramatic moment isn't like, you know, it's not like a heart to heart. It's not like someone, it's like, they're just like, oh crap, I can't. They just like, yeah, if we're going to do this. They don't pretend. They don't have like, oh, we're not going to do this. This isn't our fight. They're just like, yeah, I guess we're going to do this. And they all agree. They all like, yeah, we're just going to go with it.
The only thing I wanted to add is, you know, I saw trailers for this in the theater before it came out, and I thought it looked like absolute dog shit. Like, I thought it looked like it could be one of the worst movies of the year. And my wife Melissa wanted to go see it, and I said no. And I don't think I've heard a negative review yet. Like, I'm super surprised that actually it turned out good. And now I'm kind of like bummed that we didn't go see. I mean, I guess we could still go. But yeah, it is one of those ones where I feel like I should have just. I'll be like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll let you pick one for once, and you know, and then you know, I get the next pick for what movie we go see. And I probably would have been like pleasantly surprised if I had just gone with it instead of being like, dude, I thought it looked so terrible. Like,
and I don't disagree with you. I honestly,
like, that cast I do not like. I just think that it just looked bad to me. Like, all around, it looked bad to me. But I heard they have gelatinous cubes. So yeah, I'm like, there's a gelatinous cube. Man, now I need to see.
it plays into a couple scenes. It's neat what they do with it.
I'm interested now. I really am. Which I, you know, you guys know me with video game movies. I usually don't. I mean, I guess this is technically not a video game movie.
It's a game movie. Yeah. It is based on a popular IP
genre
board game. Yes.
It is also, I mean, to a big part, it is also very much what has defined RPGs in the video game space.
Yeah.
So I thought
it made sense to talk about here. Another movie, another tangentially video game movie. It's not based on a video game. It's a dramatic retelling of
a
video game. Yeah, it's more about like it's about Tetris. It is about how Tetris came to be in the West. And Jeff, I know that you you watched this as well.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I, you know, it was interesting because I went into it having listened to the Slash or just the film cast now.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Chen on there was like really down on the movie. And he was like, you know, he's like, the story itself is interesting enough, but instead they tried to like overdo it and be like, he was like, the whole tone of the movie was like, isn't this story so wacky? And like, based on the trailer, I was expecting the same thing as well. And there is like, I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but like, that is in there. And there is a little bit of like trying to juice it up a little bit, but I do think that there's like, I think it does ultimately rely on how interesting the story is in a way. And it worked for me because, honestly, it worked for me because of the central character and his desperation. Like, you know, the Taron Egerton plays like this, I don't know how I'm saying it, if it's Edgerton or Egerton, but he plays this businessman who is like completely invested in this product, which he may or may not own. And I just was drawn to like someone that a story about someone with that like desperation and drive. I think his like performance was really good, and like, I don't know, I just think overall it was entertaining enough. I do kind of agree it could have been a little more straightforwardly dramatic, and could have lost, like, in my opinion, it could have lost like these like little flourishes, like these like video game transitions it would do.
There's a few towards the end that I was like, this is good. Like, I like the beginning,
but you don't need it.
The 8-bit part, but there's a car chase at the end. I kind of like that, like where it was like this stylistic choice of like, I'm because like the first five or 7 minutes are like he's narrating, like you know, he's basically doing a voiceover, getting you set up for where you're at. So starts out with like an 8-bit version of CES, and I thought that stuff was neat, but then like they bring it back towards the end. There's a car chase where like a car crashes and it turns into like an 8-bit car, and like that was weird. Like, I didn't do that stuff.
And then there's also like heightened clearly heightened stuff, like following up, like, there's like a chase through an airport. Like, first off, I don't believe like this car chase or this chase through an
airport. No, that did not happen.
But that's the thing, is like, I get the critique there, is that the story is interesting enough on its own. Like, you didn't have to punch it up at all. And you didn't need any of that stuff. But that said, I found the movie entertaining, and I thought that, like, for me, what pulled me through it was the central characters. Like, not only that he was desperate and fully invested in this product, but, like, how much he believed in it. Like, he played Tetris and he loved it, and then when he was like, you gotta try this game and you'll see what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I loved about it. It was, like, not only, he wasn't just invested because he had, like, because he was invested, but also because he thought that it was a really great game, you know? I thought that was, like, I don't know, like, I thought it was an entertaining movie. What about,
What were you gonna say, Earl?
Oh no, I've not gotten a chance to see the movie. I was just like, I was surprised because I didn't know the Tetris story before this movie came out, but I looked it up before, and I did not realize how insane it was actually to get this game.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So I'm surprised or kind of disappointed that they had to add because it's already.
That's what I was saying. That's what Dave Chen was saying. Was like, it's interesting enough. You don't have to do the, like, isn't this so wacky? You know, like.
I thought it made for an entertaining film. I think, like, we probably would have been like, yeah, this is interesting. And, like, I am. Like, I've watched, there's a YouTube guy, I think he's called the Video Game Historian. And he has, like, a 50-minute episode on, like, the history of Tetris and all of this. And it's super fascinating. But I don't think that my wife would sit through, like, a dry kind of approach to this.
You know, like I'm not saying dry, but like you approach it more like an R-rated drama, like more like this is really serious, life and death stakes, which is like, again, I kind of disagree with Dave Chen because at points like this does approach it that. But then like
there are life and death stakes. It's just done in a.
It's too lighthearted at times for me. Like I get that, like you know, but I was still entertained. Like I thought this.
I enjoyed the lightheartedness of it. Yeah. I thought like it plays like it. It is a bit goofy, but to me, it was like, you know, entertaining because all of the principal actors are fun. Like Taron Egerton is Hank Rogers is he's fun. Like he is a fun character and you get behind him. You feel for, you know, the shit he's going through. He's an asshole at times. Like he's missing out on shit for his kid and he's treating his wife like not badly, but like he's just like, you know, over.
I was 1,000% at his side when he flipped out. Like, hey, I'm sorry, you missed, you know, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but I was like, hey, I just went through like the worst thing of my, like, we are fucked, and you're worried about this, you know, like, I get he was being an abusive asshole, but I was like in his shoes at that moment. Like, I could see
how you get why he's like that, but also like at the beginning, his wife was like, we don't need to do this. Yeah. And he's still like,
ultimately,
know, he bet he literally bet his house.
And ultimately,
several times would understand.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I think this movie is totally worth watching, and like, while I could like understand the criticisms that people have with it, and I could kind of agree with those. I do think the movie was entertaining. Like, and I really think a lot of it for me was his performance. So that's kind of where I'm at on it.
Yeah, I know, like, just the parts where it's, like, you know, like, he walks in, he's in Nintendo, and he walks in, and they're like, you need to sign this NDA, and there's this thing with a sheet over it, and no idea what's coming up, and then they, like, reveal it, and it's like, oh, man, like, it's the fucking Game Boy, and then, like, he, you know, it's all embellished, right? Like, he is able to get Tetris up and running on it, like, a scene later, in that same room with them.
You got to see your favorite Mario game in that scene.
Yeah, it's Super Mario Land is
showing it running on the game.
Were, you know, according to this movie, that's what they were going to package.
Is that incorrect? Because I could totally believe that.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes sense. Like it does make sense, but it also makes sense that, like, you know, they saw Tetris and were like, let's do it.
His pitch was great. He's like, if you want to sell Game Boy to like a million kids, then put Mario in it. If you want to sell to everybody, put Tetris in it. And like, I could kind of see that because like Tetris does appeal to, I think, to more people than Mario, you know.
I don't think that's true, but
it's just so basic. Like, there's no,
I mean, yes, I think the idea Okay. I think Tetris is something that more people have played and experienced, but I think because it does not, it acts a character where Mario, I mean, in a sense, like Mario is, I mean, we're learning that right now. Mario is, he is on a different level. I mean, I guess, I don't know if you folks have done with Tetris.
I think his pitch is right. I think it proved right in history. I think that Nintendo went with it for a reason. I mean, we'll never know what, you know, what
the Game Boy, no, the Game Boy is completely right. I think it's a perfect pick when play game. It's the type of game that you can play for 5 minutes, you can play for 3 hours, and you'll be fine either way. Yes, I agree with you on that point. I don't think the Game Boy would have the longevity without Tetris. But yes, that is on my Sunday. I get to recover and watch that movie and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I really think like anyone listening to this podcast should check that movie out if you can.
I think it's super fun.
I think
the villains, Robert Stein, played by Toby Jones, and the two Maxwells are like great. They are sleazy.
So I mean, I guess I could watch the movie, but how do they make people? Because I know the story, and there aren't necessarily bad guys in the situation. There are Eagle Loopholes, but I don't know if there's any.
There's a company that did really shady shit, and I think they are portrayed as like
okay.
bad guys. Now, if that's how it was, or that's how you view it in real life, I guess it's a different thing. But I thought they were pretty clearly like,
yeah,
in the wrong.
Yeah, well,
like a shady company in the movie.
I don't know about like so in the movie they, you know, the Soviet Union have them re-sign a licensing deal, but the two companies that were licensed, they were the license holders in their eyes. They were definitely shady.
Very shady people.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a triumph of the movie too. I think it could have done it with a more serious tone, but like making all these like business contracts seem interesting, like and being like, you have the rights to this, you have the rights to that. Actually, you don't have the rights, and these people have been selling stuff based on rights that they don't have, and it seems like could have felt more confusing than like it does a good job of like explaining all that to you, like
and the main company behind it, the Mirror Group, I believe,
Mirror Soft,
owned by the Maxwells. Like Robert Maxwell was, I mean, I think he died, but he was under investigation for fraud. Like
if it's anything like the movie, yeah, that guy, like again, that company was not on the up and up.
Yeah, they do a good job of making them villains in this, and for a movie that is really about contracts and rights holding, they do a good job making it exciting. I thought so.
Never would have thought a Tetris adaptation would be this entertaining.
I'm glad that they did. The story, though, as opposed let's make.
There's no way. How else are you gonna do a Tetris adaptation?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, like you
which is why I'm kind of looking forward to, but I'm very curious to see what comes to Gran Turismo later this year.
Are they doing a similar thing?
Yes and no.
Yeah, weird.
It's not a Gran Turismo movie in the sense that it's about somebody who played Gran Turismo and got into car racing. So it's also kind of like based off of a true story, but it's not necessarily related.
There's a blueprint for this that was like a movie that nobody saw a couple of years back about. It was a Bruce Springsteen movie, but it was about someone who liked Bruce Springsteen. I forgot the name of it. Chris, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like the same. They like built this whole movie about a fan of Bruce Springsteen.
I know them, but I can't think of the.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it. But like, I think that's an interesting. You gotta find a way to tell these stories. Certain things, it's like you can't, you know, directly adapt the music of Bruce Springsteen. That's called a concert movie. You know what I mean? Like, or Tetris. There's no way to directly adapt Tetris, but you find the story in that, and so.
Oh, okay. And I don't think any of us has seen this, but I've been very curious to see how it's been reacting to the poppiest now that it's out. But Mario dropped this week.
Yes.
We are in the second day of this recording. And I mean, I don't think there's any way to put this, but Mario is. I mean, I think we've kind of known that Mario's been the face of gaming for almost 40 years now. And for better or worse, I think Mothbone for 30 years has worked in Nintendo's advantage because there's just been a massive demand to see him in anything. Because, I mean, I'm sure you've all followed Rotten Tomatoes. It's called a mixed bag. I think right now it's at 54% on Rotten Tomato. I think the average score is like 5.5 out of 10. Yeah. A very average movie. But the flip side is it has a 96% score with audiences, and it has an A cinema score, which means that people who are going to see it are actually in love with it. It's giving them what they wanted.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it on Saturday, so.
Yeah, I'm seeing it tomorrow.
I'm seeing it in 9 days.
So nobody's seen it yet. I will see it at some point, but I don't know if I'll see it this weekend. I don't know. It sounds like product,
which it is.
You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like, oh, people went in and got what they expected. It's like, yeah, that's what happens at Burger King or McDonald's, and like, I don't fault critics for saying it's not good.
No, I read something this week that has really stuck with me, and I think that's what I'm going to use going forward. Is critics ask, is it a good movie? Audience asks, is it a fun movie? And I think sometimes that's where the disconnect comes from. Because we've seen it both ways, where there's been critically acclaimed movies that general audiences don't care for because it's dark, it's sour, it's depressing, it's not, you know, energizing. And then we've seen critically panned movies that audiences up. I mean, Venom's a great example of that.
All the Transformers movies.
Most of the Transformers movies.
Not all. Yeah, you're right.
But yes. They're not good movies, but the audiences find them fun and enjoyable.
Negative reviews I've seen have said like it's kind of enjoyable, but it's just like completely hollow. You know?
But that's what I mean.
It's like the negative reviews as like the negative review is like a 5 out of 10 as opposed to like a 2.
There's been like 1 out of 5s and 2 out of 10.
I know, but I'm saying like I think I would skew it slightly more positive than.
But what I'm saying is like as critics, it makes complete sense. From I kind of, you know, like. It's the problem with Rotten Tomatoes, I think sometimes is people just look at the ultimate score.
Yeah, but you don't know how strong the positives are.
Yeah, that's the problem.
This movie seems like I think the people that like enjoyed it and the people that did not enjoy it are like mostly kind of in the middle. Like it's like it wasn't terrible, but it was like there was nothing that blew me away. You know what I mean? That would be like a good and a bad review. Like
yes. But I think, I mean, again, which is what I'm saying. It's like, yes, they're looking for, is this a quality movie? Does it hit on, like, you know, like one of the biggest examples out of the reviews I've read, good and bad, there's not much of a plot. It feels like everybody says it feels like it's just going from like set piece to set piece to set piece. The flip side from what I've read from audiences is like, oh, it's like the Mario Kart set piece. Oh, we're in Donkey Kong Country. And it's like, they want those set pieces because they recognize those things. And, you know, a lot of people put, game on Illumination. I'm also going to say, I mean, calling a spade, I'm assuming because Miyamoto was so hands-on, he probably did not want him to give Mario a character, because to him, Mario is like the everyman, and then you impose yourself on Mario. That works to a degree in video games. I don't think that works in movies. You can have an everyman. I mean, the reason they got Chris Pratt is because he already played that in the Lego movie. Emmett's the everyman. But Emmett had an arc. Emmett had a character. And he, you know, he hit bottom and he got back up. I don't know if they're doing that with Mario, but a lot of the reviews and stuff I've read do have very similar complaints about, like, the fact that he doesn't really go on a hero's journey of any sort.
I'm looking forward to it. So,
you know,
yeah, I'm excited.
Whatever it is, good, great. It's a fucking cartoon video game movie. Yeah, like,
I'm up for it. Like, if it is just candy, eye candy, like, you know, I'm fine with a movie like that every once in a while. Yeah. So,
yeah, and again, I think it's not that there's nothing else. I mean, I don't know if you thought Puss in Boots, fantastic animated film that just came out at the end of the
bad. Yeah, it's not going to be that.
It's not going to be that.
It's just, like, just letting you
know. No, I'm not saying, but I'm saying, like, there are a ton of, but I feel like this is, I mean, not that I feel, this is different. I mean, just kind of, you know, like, first day, I think it made 66, 67 million worldwide.
It kind of feels unfair that it's going to make $1 trillion and it's probably like mediocre. So whatever, yeah. Dude. Good for them. Hey, but make more shit out of your stuff.
But it's not necessarily mediocre to the audience. And that's like sometimes just people.
Because just, people are going to see it does not mean.
No. Not that people are going to see it. That people are going to see it and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's if they're coming out of there and they're giving. It's like. You know, lots of people go to a movie and it'll make a lot of money its first weekend, but, you know, ends up with a C or a B minus cinema score. Like, people are coming out of this going, like, that they loved it. Like, title getting an A, like, that's going to have word of mouth. People are going to, and people are going to see it more than once.
I don't know. It's kind of assumed and manufactured in, though, in my opinion. Dude. How many fucking parents do you know have taken their kids to like a kid's cartoon movie and gone, oh, that was bad. That was good. Like, the kid laughed. Like, we had fun. Like,
are you kidding?
They're not looking at
some of the crap I've had to sit through. Yeah, it's been like, so terrible.
No, but
maybe you.
Chris,
they're looking at it. My kid.
Shut up, you man.
They're gauging it. Did my kid?
You're not a parent, Jeff. You don't like.
I've seen the parents.
It's a perspective you don't have because parents sit through so much crap, and we.
No, I know what you do.
We all know it's crap, and we will tell anyone we know.
Yeah, if they're asking, like, if they were to ask. Like, if they're asking my kid coming out of the theater, like, that's different. But if they're asking me, I'm not
going to get you guys because they're going to be like, do you know what warp zones are? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to actually be a good movie. Like, you're going to be like, there was a few jokes for me. You know?
I think you're selling parents short on that.
I think I'm not. And I think that, like, again, I have not seen the movie. I don't expect a lot out of it. I think it'll be okay. Like,
I would also go to explain the cinema score because, like, what you're describing, that sometimes happens. Like, you come out of movies with your friends, like, oh, you talk about it. It's like, it's fine. It's good. But, like,
they played a song I recognized.
But what cinema score is, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. It mostly only happens open in the week. It only happens open in the weekend. When you get out of the movie, there's some people who are there, like, oh, do you want to take a quick survey? The survey isn't like, do you recognize warp pipes? The survey is like, oh, you know, are you familiar with this movie? What did you think of this movie? Was it what you expected? Which, I mean, to be fair, to Jeff's point, a lot of movies do end up in that A range because a lot of people are just like, yeah, this is...
I got the product I wanted.
Yes. But there's a great example. Horror films tend not to get A's because a lot of people come in with different expectations of what they want from horror films. But horror films, that's kind of baked into the formula. Superhero movies, like, everybody knows. If you get underneath an A or an A minus, that almost means, like, because, like, everybody knows you're getting into a superhero film. And if you're like, oh, this.
You're right. You're right on everything you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's not just CinemaScore. I mean, CinemaScore tends to be the big one for a lot of people because that's actual people at the movie theater. That's, like, parents. That's non-parents. That's people. But it's that. It's the Rotten Tomatoes score, which is 96%. I'm a big box office nerd when it comes to movies I want. I think the Asian market, I think I forget the name of that one. It's like 3.9 out of 4, which is really high remarks. It's doing, you know, like, it's getting really user reviews and fans. So it's not just like people being, oh, it's Mario. It's like people going and enjoying themselves with their film.
Maybe the bad critic reviews are from the critics that don't understand Game Boy.
Well, there are definitely some critic reviews that are like,
you know, really out of touch. From, like,
yes,
like you have not played a video game ever in your life.
Well, there was one horrible. The review was fine. Like I think like ultimately like, this is candy, but like something in it was like they tried to describe Bowser, and they referenced something from the 90s that like was super obscure, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
the best one that I was like referencing here is the headline was this movie has as much charm as an unplugged Game Boy. And everyone was like, yeah, Game Boy is unplugged? Like, that's...
Famously, everybody plugged in their Game Boy all the time.
And that's when you're like...
It reminds me of when you get, like, the...
Like, the only game that they played is Pong.
Yeah. It's like that. Did you see the Tetris review where the guy didn't know about Tetris? Like, how that's do you fucking not know about Tetris?
I've never played Tetris.
That's what I did.
It was a huge reviewer. I forgot who said that. It was a huge critic.
Yeah, big guy.
He had never played Tetris. I'm like, dude, have you lived a life? I'd be like, you never started cocaine. Like, you never started cocaine in your life? What the fuck are you doing? Like, you know,
it reminds me of when they have like tech guys testify before Congress and the congressman asked them questions.
Yes.
That reveal that
like yes.
You don't know how to the internet works. You don't know like you don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, or it's like that's pretty much what are you,
why are you here?
It's so like, disconnected from reality. Like, how do you go through the day, you know?
Well, so, I understand not playing Tetris, but it would be weird.
No, I do not understand not playing Tetris. But I'm like, dude, it's been around for 30 years. It's,
but like,
come on,
I think the guy said he didn't even know about it before.
That's
I understand maybe not playing it, but like, not knowing about Tetris. And Tetris is like one of the, like, I remember back in like, junior high school having like a Nokia phone that played Tetris. Tetris is safe. The two games of day.
I could believe a 20-year-old not knowing what Tetris is more than a 6-year-old. You know what I mean?
Either, yeah.
Like, you know?
Because Tetris has never not been in. It's never not been a thing.
But if you're like of a certain age, like you remember, like Tetris is like a very big phenomenon when it came out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would believe an older person I would believe a younger person not knowing it than an older person. And then this older person is just like, yeah, never heard of it. Never, you know,
completely blind. But I'm not even sure that I would buy that like they didn't know about. Like I definitely see a younger person knowing I've never played it, but I can't
never heard of it.
Maybe they're lying.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just like, I don't play video games.
Video games.
And that's where I get like with some of these reviews are just like, oh, video games suck and like, you know, they're infringing on my cinema. Like
that
it
said
is
though, I don't
probably cry. Popcorn shit. Like
I don't,
I'm fine with that.
I don't take that like assumption into the Mario reviews because look at the Last of Us reviews, like every critic seemed to be blown away by that adaptation, you know. And many of them had not ever played a video game.
Well, very different. Very different.
Yeah, because one, again, this is kind of my point. Like, one kind of lends itself to being a story, and one is just a dude, Italian plumber jumping around.
That's not what I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to say one permeated pop culture and one hasn't. Like, you have
One. No, one is a story, and one is not a story. Mario is not a story. Like, you're forcing it. It's a product. Like, it's not.
It's a character that you are forcing into a story, which is fine. I think
I don't think anyone's disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that, like, the nature of the beast is like, you do have a frame of reference for Mario, which is like, you know, like, but you don't necessarily know what The Last of Us was. So, like, you're just rating that on, like, this is a really good show. Yeah. Not necessarily like, oh, this makes a great video game. Where Mario said,
The Last of Us is two video games for one system where Mario has been around for what we're coming up on 40 years now. Like, you know, we put in what, like 15 games last week on our tier list. Like he's been around.
Yeah. I just think one lends itself to another medium more and one doesn't. And I don't fault critics for going, this thing has some meat on the bone, and this thing has nothing.
Yeah,
there.
But I don't. I mean,
like again,
I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think we're having that argument. I guess is what I'm missing.
Yeah, I think they're targeting two different things here. So yeah. We'll see. I mean,
maybe.
They are like the people that made The Last of Us are not aiming for whatever Nintendo was trying to do with the Super Mario movie. Like, absolutely different target demographics.
Lots of people of the same demographic are going
to
be watching.
They're definitely going to be seeing. Like, yes, that like because like if you watched The Last of Us or played The Last of Us, like that area, you know who Mario is. You grew up with them, like regardless of whether you started on the original Nintendo or you started on the Wii or the Wii U, like you know who the fuck Mario is.
Also, like I'm very proud. Chris is starting to say Mario
with
the rest of the world.
It's not the rest of the world because it forced me over 15 years to say
it. Wasn't us. I never said anything. I just made fun of you behind your back.
I would always criticize him.
Anyway. Tony and I are going to see it this weekend.
Yes.
Earl is a little bit farther out. Jeff may wait till it shows up on.
I'll see it at this point. I don't know. We might go to the theater. I don't know.
It's the hardest thing in the world, but I promise my friends that coming into town, it's the one thing we have whenever we do this get together is I can't see the movie ahead of time. It only applies to me, but. But yes, I'm excited for it. I'm just expecting a breezy 90 minutes of colorful animation and fun music. And apparently Noodle drops it nobody likes, so
all right, so we played a couple games. Tony, you played something called Loop Hero.
So it dropped on Game Pass this past week. And I figured, why not? There's been a couple of like random games like this that I played that I enjoyed recently. So, you know, why not give it a shot? And in Loop Hero, it reminds me of some respects to Vampire Survivor, where all you do in this game is walk around in a loop. And you end up in battles. You don't actually fight any of the battles. All you really do is manage your inventory. But you go around in this loop, and as you fight battles, you unlock these cards and maybe new weapons or new like gear for your person. So you change up your inventory based on whatever you pick up. And these cards, though, determine what's on the loop or what's around the loop. So you might get a card that's like a mountain, and you can add a mountain to the loop, and that will like mountains cause you to have higher hit points for some reason I really don't understand. You'll add a grove to the loop, and the grove will cause a certain type of monster to appear in the grove that you will then fight when you walk through that thing in the loop. And you just go around this loop until you come back to where you started, at which point you can decide if you want to stop there and go back to your little like campfire village thing, where you use the like all the loot that you've collected to start building up humanity.
Yeah, you do.
Or you can go around the loop again. Every time you go on the loop, all the enemies are one level higher. So like there's this challenge of every time you get around, all the way around, you're like, okay, can I make one more trip? If you go around the loop and you die, you don't lose all of your loot, but you lose almost all of your loot. Like it all goes away. So there's this like, okay, have I collected enough that I feel like I'm strong enough to get through one more pass, or do I stop here? And that's the main gameplay element. It's fun. It really is like, and it's relaxing. You can just kind of sit there because you don't need to do anything during the battles. You're just basically watching your character fight until the battle's over. All you really do is decide whether you want to continue the adventure or just sit there and not move at all.
So what with the loot, like, is it improve you for future runs or?
So, when you decide that you're going to no longer, like, if you're exiting loop, they call it, I think, withdrawing or retreating or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that to build up the little town that you're kind of running. And building up that town will unlock certain abilities or allow you to, so you start off as the warrior class, and if you build the right buildings, then you can be I think it's a thief or a rogue, and then there's like a necromancer class that you can unlock. So you unlock these other classes that you can move through. Some of the buildings you build, there's like a smithy, which will let you start your run with certain weapons. And if you upgrade the smithy, then you can start with even better weapons. So there's a whole, like, you're using that loot to make yourself stronger for further future runs. And
okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun little game. It's very relaxed. I just sit around playing it while I'm doing other stuff. It's got that whole, like, 16-bit style. It's, you know.
So it's like pixelated kind of look to it.
Yeah.
That's on Game Pass now?
It's on Game Pass. I've been playing it on PC, but it's also on Xbox.
Okay.
So.
And also on the PC, they patched Company of Heroes 3?
They did, which was good, but also bad. So
the patch was, or the game was before.
So I'd been playing my campaign because the AI was basically just sitting there while you took over territory, and you would battle them when you got to them, but they would sit and wait. So of course this meant that me being super aggressive as I am, I'm racing all my companies out across Italy in a pell-mell attempt to take as much territory as I can. Then I went on my trip. I, you know, did some stuff. I came back. They had patched the game. That's great. You know, fixes and everything. And it's like, oh, we patched the AI. And that's great. Yay, awesome. And, of course, all my companies are all spread out across Italy. They patched the AI to make it more aggressive. So now, and they didn't just make it aggressive. They made it, like, Tony-level aggressive. So it's doing the exact same thing to me that I was doing to it before. So I'm like, okay, reverse, everybody come back. I've never had this happen before where, like, they changed the, like, the behavior of the game while you're in the middle of playing it. So you have to, like, completely change your strategy on the fly. So I'm like, all right, everybody retreat back to base. We need to defend our stuff now.
Need to figure out what's going on.
Right. It is much more interesting now. There's more give and take. The AI is quite aggressive, so you have to, like, think about, like, oh, I have flanks and I need to garrison stuff because they'll attack me and go around me. So I've now played a lot of Company of Heroes. I am really enjoying it. I've read a lot of reviews at this point. Most of the reviews focus on people's displeasure with things in the multiplayer, which I don't care about.
Right.
Single player wise, this game is fantastic. I'm really enjoying the battles. They're varied. Every like major city in Italy has its own particular designed battle. So you're not like fighting the same battle over and over and over again. Like one will be like, if you're attacking an airfield, there's ones where you need to like seize the airfield and then defend it from attack, or there's some where you need to attack these bunkers around the outside of the airfield to take it over. There's just a nice like variety of missions, which pleases me, because like a lot of the times you're playing like, say, Total War Warhammer, and you're fighting the same. You feels like you're fighting the same battle over and over and over again. And they've done a good job of mixing all of that up.
This provides you with different scenarios to,
yeah,
and that dictates how you strategize for each fight.
So, right. The company versus company battles all tend towards the skirmish mode, like you would see in a multiplayer. I don't think the AI is very good at it, so I've won most of those battles pretty easily. To the point where, like, it'll start you off like each style. There'll be there's this one where you need to seize these 3 points in the middle, and if you take all those points, then the other side's tickets start to tick down. So, you know, kind of like Battlefield or whatever.
Okay. Yep.
And each side will start with 300 tickets. And I almost always end that skirmish battle with 300 tickets. Because the first thing I do every time is just like, all right, I'm sending a squad to each point. I'm going to take all three of them at once. And the AI doesn't move fast enough. So I end up taking the points, and the entire battle revolves around me, like, defending those points. The way Company of Heroes works, like, as you take portions of the map, that's how you get your resources. So, like, sprinting out and taking as much of the map as you can in the beginning gives you a huge advantage. And for some reason, the AI doesn't seem to keep up with that strategy. I'm sure another player would. But.
Yeah, it's hard to get a good AI. They're either overly aggressive or under aggressive in those games where you would be playing against another person. So
yeah, the single player pausability kind of ruins it too, because I can literally just pause the action. All right, now I can pick all my troops and send them to each point and play.
Right, and if you're playing and you're playing multiplayer, like
you can't do that.
Yeah, the other team is making their moves at the same time. So
yeah.
All right, you play anything else?
Mostly those two things.
Earl, you play anything this week?
No.
Fair enough.
Nothing new. It's been a very hectic week.
Yeah,
be honest. I mean,
it was. It. I mean, he had WrestleMania and. You know, movies and birthdays. It was busy.
Yeah.
Jeff, you played EA Sports PGA Tour. Is that the correct name? Or
I think so, unless there's a year beyond it. But I think it's just EA Sports PGA Tour. I am a huge fan of golf games, and I've played all of their golf, not all. I've played every EA Sports golf game since 2003.
So back when they were Tiger Woods, PGA, and then what was it, Rory McIlroy, and
yeah, I've played them for 20 years now. I've played most of the Mario golf games. I've played 3DS golf games. I've played any golf game I could get my hand on, because I enjoy golf games quite a bit. And this game is half the game that I really want it to be, which is it has a really cool like career mode, and it has like challenges where it's like based on things that happened in history. It's like, hey, try to do this moment from history type thing. It has the RPG element where as you play, you'll earn stat points that you could, apply to your character. It has almost everything I would want out of them, except it suffers from the same problems that their last golf game, which is almost 10 years ago now, well, 8 years, like, Rory McIlroy was their last golf game that came out in 2015. And to me, the gameplay on that game was fucked. And that game was also, like, shallow. It didn't have a lot of courses, whatnot. This game suffers from most of the same things that game suffers from. This really hurts, because, again, this game has, like, almost everything I want. And it has a ton of courses. Like, I think it has 30 courses at launch.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful, and the game looks pretty good. But man, like, EA has forgotten how to make a golf game. Like, it's really weird. Like, you would think generally, like, if something was going to be wrong, it'd be like, oh, the fundamentals are right, but it's just, like, not a fully fleshed out game. That doesn't seem to be the case here. It's like, it seems like it's a fully fleshed out game where the fundamentals suck. And I don't want to bore you guys with, like, a million details. You can ask me if you want, but, like, the swinging sucks. Like, the shot mechanics sucks. The ball physics suck. The fucking greens suck. The fucking putting sucks. Like every like
the part of playing it. Everything about playing.
The actual gameplay is fucking terrible and inconsistent. And just like you're just like, again, dude, like I am not a rookie at golf games. I'm not. I've played a lot of golf games. I love golf games. And so when I judge a shot, and I'm judging elevation, I'm judging distance, what club I'm using, etc. Like, I'm putting a lot of thought into it, and it just goes fucking, like, haywire, like, awry. Like, it's just like, oh, and I'm just like, dude, this is not fun. Because then that, like, you could go from something that should have been, I should have got a birdie, to I'm getting a triple fucking bogey, because you're fucking... Your mechanics and your physics are so fucked that, again, you can blame it on me. I'm sorry. Anyone who fucking plays this game, come at me. Let's fucking talk. I don't give a shit, dude. I've played a million fucking golf games. I know what I'm fucking talking about. The shit in this is whack, dude. Like, and it's the same problems that Rory McIlroy had. And a lot of people, like, bash on Rory McIlroy because that was also a shallow game. Like, it didn't have a lot of courses. So, like... They corrected that part of it, but I'm sorry, dude. The gameplay mechanics in the new, what should be the new Tiger Woods, is fucking shit. It's fucking garbage. The old fucking Tiger Woods games were fucking fun. They knew how to make a video game. They have lost the ability to make a fucking golf. Like, EA has lost the ability to make a good golf game. Sorry, it's over.
Maybe a good sports game in general. Like...
Yeah. Put it to rest. Honestly, yeah. And I played. I did try Madden, and part of that is like me not being good at, I guess, football games. But like, I felt the same way about that. Where I was like, man, I remember like playing like Madden back in the day. It was fun. Yeah. This is not fun. Like, this does not feel fun. Like, it feels like they lean so much into sim aspects and going, oh, we could do all this computing, and it's like, dude, you already had it figured out how like the gameplay could have been fun, and now you're leaning into like. Our ball physics are so good. And it's like, yeah, they're not. I fucking hit a ball before the green. It jumps up onto the green. It rolls over the green. It goes on the other side of the green into a fucking sand pit. Like, fuck you, dude. This is not fucking fun. I'm sorry. I fucking... Needless to say.
You're not a fan.
Suck. I'm not a fan. I will thank EA for providing me with my 10-hour trial, which I probably won't even finish. Because I'm just sorry, like, you got the fundamentals wrong on this game. Like, I don't know how you can take something like, and I haven't gotten into like specifics of what's wrong with it, but they just all suck. But like, the swing mechanic on your golf game should be pretty intuitive. I think that's been established for like 20 years in golf games. You know, you swing the stick, like you swing your analog stick, it moves along with your golf club. And here, that is not really the case. Like, dude, just
frustrating. Did you play the 2K golf game?
Yeah, I did, and that was like the thing is like what you're hoping, what you want is the EA veneer or whatever, and like you want like the. Let me put it this way. If I had to choose, like, you put a gun in my head, I'll take the 2K game any day. It just doesn't have, like, the courses. It doesn't have, like, some of the things that you want from the EA game. But easily, in my opinion, 2K is a better game.
Okay.
Because, like, EA, you could adjust everything. Like you could adjust a lot of things in this, too, but it doesn't matter. You can adjust the 2K game to like how you want it to play. The EA game, it's like I was like finally like, all right, this swing mechanic sucks. I'm gonna put it on easy. Didn't fix it at all. It still sucked. It was still the same. Like I couldn't even tell what putting it on easy did. It just makes it no fun. Like,
yeah, like, if you put it on easy, you should be romping through, right? Like, you should be basically just, parring almost everything.
It's Need for Speed. It's Need for Speed all over again. I put that game on easy, and it was fucking so fucking hard as balls. And that's how I felt about this. Like, I'm sorry. Like, again, dude. anyone, I got doubt anyone who's like, there's very few hardcore like golf fans to begin with, so I doubt there's anyone that's listening to this, but like, I'm sorry, dude, like, this game, there's a lot of people on my side, and I'm sure there are people who like defend it, but like, I think this game is fucking terrible. Like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not buying it. I'm so happy EA gave me that 10-hour trial. It's fucking awful. It is exactly as awful as Rory McIlroy. Like, they just fundamentally do not understand how to make a fun golf game. Go play fucking Mario Golf. Go fuck yourself. Fuck you. I'm so fucking mad. I'm really so fucking mad. Like, I'm trying not to get even more riled up than I am, so I'll leave it at that. Fuck you. Fuck you. Sorry.
All right.
I feel Jeff's pain. I do.
Thank you.
This is one of those times I'm like, I got you.
I mean, FIFA was good this year, so there's that.
I'm happy like that again.
How is NHL? NHL 23 is coming out on Game Pass.
I have not.
How is that series bad? Has that been like good?
NHL's not been good recently.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how you. The thing I don't get is like, dude, they put out Tiger Woods every year, and it was great.
So far into creating the sim parts that, like, to get it to play how you probably want it to play, which is more of an arcade game, you have to like do so many different, you know, toggles and switches.
That's annoying.
And I don't even know if you could do that in golf. Like,
you can a little bit, but that's what I don't get. It's like back when it was, you were just making like a golf game, and like you didn't have the computing power that you do now. They had it figured out better. And here's like, yeah, we could realistically map out every fucking course and every hole, and it's like, that's great, dude, but this place like shit.
Right. Like there should still be, and that's not to say that we shouldn't also have modes that are like way over simmy for the people that want that. Well, but
you're
like
playing on just like regular.
Yeah, like most people
did you play like Tiger Woods? I'm sorry, dude.
Most people want to play. They want to play a sports game to feel like they are a sports star. They don't want to be
empowered.
Like, yeah. They don't want to play a sports game and be like, I am just as bad at this as I am at real golf. Like,
and the thing is like with a golf game, like I want to have that feeling where like, oh, I'm not as good at first, but like, I want the RPG experience as I had stats. As I had stats in this, it did nothing. It played exactly the same. No matter, I almost maxed out my putting, and it was still like pretty bad.
And if you max out your putting, it should be like almost automatic.
Yeah, it should be like godlike. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. It's like they put so much focus on like some of the technical things that they could do that like they actually have like ruined the actual gameplay. Again, that's my opinion on the golf games. Now it sounds like you guys kind of agree with me across the board, but like it really like hurts me because I'm just like, man, I used to love Tiger Woods. Like, yeah, Mario Golf is great, but I would like to play at like St. Andrews or fucking, you know, Pebble Beach, like some real places, and like,
but with
the RPG gameplay experience, yeah, and like it's just like this. The gameplay itself is just, it sucks. It fucking sucks. Like, it's terrible. So I'm sorry to say. I mean, again, I don't think anyone that's listening to this is actually going to buy this game, but don't buy it. Fuck them.
Noted. A game you don't have to buy, and I talked about it a little bit last week, though, MLB The Show 23. I talked about last week, like, I'm kind of like, I really like the history stuff in the game, and I finished what they call their storyline mode. Or season one of their storyline mode, because they're going to add more in. But I think you play through eight players, like eight storylines for eight different players from the Negro Leagues. I think it's like 64 gameplay challenges or something like 66 gameplay challenges. And you play through them, and like, you know, after each gameplay challenge you complete, you get a little bit more of like the documentary type footage and conversation on that player until, you know, you finish that piece up, you move on to the next one. Ultimately, there is almost an hour's worth of documentary footage interview stuff with I think it's a curator from the Negro League Baseball Museum. Like really high quality stuff here, though. You know, I mean, everybody knows like names like Satchel Paige or Reggie Jackson, but you know, when you get into there's I can't. Unfortunately, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but there was a player from Cuba that you play as, and like I've never heard of this guy before, and like you learned that like he dominated in Mexico and Cuba before finally like ending up here in the United States beforehand. So like getting like that type of stuff, and then the cool thing about that is if you play their Diamond Dynasty mode, which is it's like their ultimate team mode. It's like you put together a team of players. So if you complete each of these like different challenges with the players, like you get that player for your team. So you can get like Satchel Paige, and he can be one of your pitchers, and you can actually staff your entire team. So you end up with a bunch of guys that are like 90 rated early on. And for anybody that's played Ultimate Team type modes, you don't end up with guys that are that strong early on, because that's not how it's designed. It's designed to give you a shit team to start. And this is like, if you play this like cool new mode we created, you can start off with a good team too, which is nice. It's nice to actually be able to play that type of mode, put together a team that you can compete against other players with. I wish, Jeff, you said that the golf game kind of had like some of the historical stuff, but I do wish that like some of these other games would put stuff in there. Like I would love to see like some the career retrospectives on like Pele or David Beckham in like FIFA or what is it, EA Football Club now. Get like a Mario Lemieux or a Wayne Gretzky type thing in NHL, where you get like some of the archival footage, you get some interview stuff like that. I think that stuff celebrates the history of the sport. It makes sense to have that stuff in there, and it should be there. I think 2K does a pretty good job with their end. Because I think that they had a Michael Jordan thing this year, Kobe last year, and they do it on the WWE side as well. Like John Cena was this year, like career retrospective on him, and Rey Mysterio the year before. But like EA, just it's just not there for their stuff. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like,
and I have not played those challenges, so I don't know what they're like. But I would imagine it's just like, oh, here's the thing that happened in history.
Right,
you're on hole 17, and it just drops you. Like, it's not like
it's probably like the Madden thing.
Like, it should be. Here's some historical footage. And then like after you beat it, here's an interview with the guy. You know what I mean? Like, it should like go all out about it. And I imagine it's just like, here's a scenario that happened. Play it.
Yeah, and that's what MLB The Show definitely went all out with it this year. Like,
and I love that. Like,
it's really neat.
It's just fuck EA, man, dude.
All right. That's it for games. All right, 3D Mario guys. There's not a lot of games here, but we're gonna tier these.
Who's Mario? Up. I've never heard of him.
He's an Italian plumber, I believe Jeff described him as.
We are a tierless podcast.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. Well, 7 games and an add-on expansion type thing. So, all right, Super Mario 64, first 3D Mario game. Where are we placing this?
B tier.
Who said that? Earl, B tier?
Yeah.
I was hoping somebody would say it before I did.
All right. Here's my opinion. It's hard for me to place it above or below B tier. Because, like, God, man. Like, I remember when it came out, and I remember, like, I was in high school. I was a freshman in high school. It blew everyone's mind. Like, my friends who were not even, like, video game people were like, super blown away by it. And like, it's still kind of fun to play today, but like, also when you play today, it's a little rough.
Not great.
Yeah. Games from that era did not age well.
So for me, it's like, it's kind of B tier. Like, it's not like the, like when I play it now, I'm like, yeah, there's things I can appreciate. I can play it. Do I want to play it now? Not totally. So, I don't know. Chris and Earl, what do you think?
Well, Earl placed it in B tier.
I mean, it is very much the same mentality I have with Super Mario Brothers. It's like, it was a very revolutionary game. It set the stage for 3D gaming. 3D gaming has built on that foundation for almost 30 years now. Almost everything else has improved in it. And it was very eye-opening going back to it on All-Stars and just being like, Mario controls like he's on ice. He's sipping inside in every which way. But the core is still there. It's still fun. It's still creative. But there are better games.
Yes. So you have Slip and Slide and new Luigi U. Good lord, I could not stand that guy's slides on that. Oh.
And those levels are just like nightmarish.
Yeah, it's like there was the one I told you I quit on. I was like, this is designed for Mario, not Luigi. I can't do this. Anyway.
All right. So Mario 64 B tier. Super Mario Sunshine.
Am I going to be the first one who says it?
Say it.
I don't want to fight with Jeff anymore, so you go ahead.
D tier.
D tier or B tier?
D as in cat.
I mean, D as in dog is good. I mean, that's...
I didn't want to... I mean, because it's the game...
You're right. Yes, cat tier is fine.
let me say something. I'd rather play this any day... Then 64.
I'd rather start this game than 64. I'd rather finish 64 than this game.
It has great vibes. Aldafino, like the hub world is like really cool and like fun to explore.
Because you get to see the odd. And you get to play the odd.
I think I do think that the water, I don't know, what do you call it? The flood?
Flood, yep.
Did not need to expand to other games, but like it works, like it's cool, it feels good. Like I like the like when you make a jump and then you add the flood on top of it, it feels really good to me. Like I think the game is like generally really good.
Yes, once you start and then you have to chase Bowser Jr. 50 times, then you gotta find a bunch of blue coins and red coins, and then it's like, oh, we're fighting piranha again. It is
Every world is the same, like setup, like you're doing the same thing. It's just...
But that's what 64 did too.
No, 64, like it would be like fine stars. It'd be like, oh, here's a star, like defeat of the King Babam, or defeat the. But then it's like, oh, you got to find one by like running around this maze, or tricking this eyeball, or going into the piano. Or is it the water levels this way or that way? Mario Sunshine is like, here's a Bowser Jr. chase again. Here's that random dude that you have to run up a hill again. Here's Petey Piranha for the fourth time this game. And don't get me started on those stupid squid races where, like, if you touch the wall, Mario dies, apparently. So, oh, I hate those things so much.
I mean, to me, like, the knocks against this game is that there's spikes in difficulty. Like, it really is hard at times. It is hard at times, but, like, man, I love the vibe of it. I love the island.
Okay, here's what I will say about Sunshine, and we'll get to this in a bit. I don't dislike the concept of Sunshine. I think it was before its time, because I think when you get to Bowser's Fury is what Sunshine wanted to be in a much better game.
I could maybe agree with that. Maybe. That's a much like. That game is like a third of the game that.
Still much better.
It's more. It's more fun, even though it's a third, two thirds shorter.
We're putting Sunshine in What tier?
B tier.
Whoa.
All right. Super Mario Galaxy.
Tony's just letting this go. All right.
I am. Yeah.
Galaxy.
S tier. Easy.
S tier.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. All right. Galaxy 2.
S tier.
Also S tier. Yep.
A tier.
What?
Why A tier, Jeff?
It's a level pack.
Yep, but they're better levels.
Uh-huh. No, it's not. It's not. The better levels win the original.
They're all better.
No. Levels are better than... It's just like, we could do more complex levels and here's a Yoshi. I'm sorry. The original was iconic. This is just
sure. Level pack.
That's why I put both of them as S tier. Because I think Galaxy 1 is a phenomenal game. I think Galaxy 2 is a better game in every way. part of it is, except for the story, I know people... And because like the hub world in Galaxy doesn't do anything. It's probably the least interesting of the three.
Yep. Galaxy 2 is just like, here, do what you want, and that's play the level.
Galaxy 2 just like level map?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get that ship, and it's like, yeah, just go, have fun.
I mean, Galaxy 1, but yeah, I hear you.
And again, you have Galaxy 1, but like Galaxy 2, like I know it gets the expansion pack, but it does a lot of when you expand into one of the greatest games of all time. You can only go up from there, in my opinion.
3D Land.
A.
I put it at B.
Why B?
Well, before that, I want these two to say something because they're just like going to wait for us to fight it out. I'm
curious. That was like super. Surprised.
I like this.
How good
I like
was.
This battle. I like it.
I probably put it in A tier. Simple, but I really like 3D Land as a handheld game, but. If we're gonna like you're putting up against Super Mario 3D World, it's not as good. So
that's the problem.
I could see a B position there.
It's like I've judged it against the fact that like, if 3D Land existed in a bubble, it's a really good 3D platformer.
In a way, it is in a bubble because it's the only one on the platform. Just saying.
Yeah, except it has a direct sequel.
Yeah, but it's not on the platform, right?
Which is on a real system.
Yeah,
like, so it's and as a handheld 3D Mario game, it's fucking phenomenal. It's great.
Yeah, like it surprised me. Like,
and I think it's still one of the best uses of the stereoscopic 3D on a 3DS. But I also like sometimes that actually does bite in the ass because they wanted you to rely so much on like that field of vision. Like, some of those jumps aren't as precise as they need to be for you if you're playing in like 2D. But it's a really good game. It just has a better sequel.
I'm not denying it doesn't have a better sequel, but I think it should be.
I'll leave it in B tier as Earl suggested
good enough.
Alex. And then let's see what we say about Mario 3D World, and then depending on where we place that.
It's A tier, dude. Anything on A tier,
I got it on A tier as well.
It's A tier.
Okay.
Chris?
I'm fine with that. That
sounds good.
Yeah. I agree with that. Like, if you guys were like, no, it's S tier, then I'm moving 3D Land up.
No, I think the over-reliance on the cat abilities makes it a little below... it's not the full 3D thing.
Yeah, and I think what kind of separates it partially with Odyssey coming out right after this is that I think it's the same issue that New Super Mario Brothers Wii had, is that like once you expanded it to multiplayer, you also had to kind of make some of the stages slightly wider, which does make it a bit easier at times. It doesn't have its challenge. And I also like the fact that they did bring back, I think it's the first game since Mario Brothers 2 that brings back character abilities, which makes them unique characters. And that's another fun thing. Like, Toad is different than Mario.
Yeah, dude, there's so many great things about the game, but, like, it's, like, a hard thing where it's, like, it doesn't feel quite like the new Mario, which is so weird because it was. You know what I mean?
And I think,
does that make any sense?
It makes sense, and I think it's the same thing we kind of mentioned with New Super Mario Brothers U, in that I think...
Same thing. Yeah.
But with Time and Distance, really good game.
It was,
at the time, 2013, being like, the Wii U suffering, and this is what you're giving us. A lot of people are like, oh, yeah.
Well, and like, I mean, I really like 3D World when it came out, but like when you compare it next to Galaxy and Galaxy 2, it is a step down. Like,
I think, and we'll get to this now, I guess. I also kind of think the same thing with Odyssey, in that, and I mean in the other way, where I think Odyssey is such a great game that it also does it does this in 3D World for me as well. You're sandwiched between like amazing games.
Yeah. All right, so 3D World A tier, and based on what Earl just said, he's saying S tier for Odyssey. I'm guessing.
Easiest S tier of my life.
I agree with that. Like it is what Mario 64
and Sunshine wanted to be.
Yeah, and it's just like, hey, we've perfected it. We've given you the awesome gameplay from Galaxy. And the openness of 64 and Sunshine, and just some of the most phenomenal levels.
And just like some of the greatest winks and nods, and oh man, like
it's like, oh, like, you know, because like, you know, people, when you give them an open world, they're gonna try and break it. So like they're you know, you're climbing up shit that like there's no real reason to climb up there, but you get up there and there's like a moon piece. It's like, oh man. Like, that's awesome. I had no reason to climb up here. I just did it because I could. And I got up there, and the developers were like, good job.
I really, really, like, love where they landed with Odyssey, and I hope that there's an Odyssey 2.
The only reason I've not holding out for an Odyssey 2 is it's been 5 years already.
Right.
Yeah. I think most likely situation is it might be done, and
I think if it was done, the best time to have done it, like, you just had the park open up in February, you had this movie out in April, it's like you dumped that in March, and like Mario Fever's at like this height
that, I think, like, they want something for the Switch too. They want something that's gonna like migrate people over, and like what it should be is Mario Kart 10.
You're gonna need, you need it for if you're going to launch the Switch 2 in the next, because a new Zelda will not be there.
Yeah.
Like,
that's not the draw to make people. Mass audience thing is Mario Kart, honestly. Like, it should be Mario Kart.
100%.
But Mario will be fine.
The one thing I will say, which also makes me kind of iffy on an Odyssey 2, and we'll get to this now, I guess, is I feel like Bowser's Fury is really kind of like a beta run.
Did we discuss that?
No, we haven't.
Well, no, it'll be next.
But yeah,
Bowser's Fury. I thought we were done. Shit, I'm fucking drinking here.
Bowser's Fury feels
are
like
you,
the
Jeff?
Best run for like the next major 3D Mario game. Like, it felt like, this is what we want to do. Do you like this? Yes, then we're going to make a full game around this.
And I liked it.
Yeah, to Jeff's point, the game was like 3 hours, if that.
Yeah, that's short.
So I'm like,
But also A tier.
Yeah.
Any disagreement on that? Earl and I are in agreement.
Bowser's Fury?
Yeah. Bowser's Fury, A tier.
It's short. It's like too short.
Yeah. That's why
what's
it's not
there?
S-tier.
What's there is super A tier. Like, it's just like, man, it feels good. Like, and you're just like, you want a bigger game built on that. So yeah, A tier.
Tony?
I'm fine with A tier.
Alright. Well, there we go. That is
everything's in A tier.
No.
A tier or S tier?
S tier, Galaxy 2, Odyssey, A tier, 3D World, Bowser's Fury, B tier, 64 and 3D Land, and Cat tier, Sunshine.
I mean, no details. No,
wait, you put that fucking shit in C?
Yeah, we said we were doing that.
Yeah, you agreed to it.
You were like, fine, whatever. We moved on.
Like, you not remember that?
No, we put it in B. No, I thought we agreed.
No, you agreed to
it. top tier, but
y'all are saying sometimes the worst. I guess
yes,
it is.
By de facto, it's worse because they're all better.
Yeah,
but the only here's the thing: I do think that Sunshine is better than 64. Like, if you were to play it right now, I'd rather play
Sunshine. I mean, I am fine moving 64 down. Like, we can move it down.
Fine, degrading. No, it's fine. It's cool. I think we did all right. It's hard to do much variety on this because, like, it's been excellent pretty much all along.
Yeah.
That's why it would be fun. I mean, but I mean, like, I guess what would be like, what would you consider like one of the most uneven? Oh, you know, it would be a good one, but I think it would piss off Tony.
Resident Evil would be.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
God damn it.
Resident Evil has like been so all over the board, but I love a lot of them. And,
yeah, well, Resident Evil we might need to save Resident Evil for when Tony's away. So
Tony needs to just play them all. Start doing some homework.
Is that really what you want me to do? Yeah, D tier. Everything's a D tier.
No.
Because six is definitely if you have F tier.
I have a soft spot for six. It's not a good game.
No, it's not.
No, I would say because it'd be fascinating to see stuff like Code Veronica 5, 6. And I don't even know if you'd put like the spinoff like Umbrella Chronicles, but
I would definitely put Revelations.
Yeah, Revelations 1 and 2. Yeah.
I don't know if I do the Umbrella Chronicles. Or...
And I'm also curious if you'd put like do you put Resident Evil in remake and then like 2 in remake or do you just pick 1?
I think
1, 2, and 3 are so different from the remakes that they kind of belong as a separate ranking.
Yeah. No, I would put all those PlayStation trash at the bottom, but yes.
I mean the bottom of greatness.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because like they're still better than 6.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Part of me wants them to remake 6 just to see. Yeah. 6 is like, I kind of want to see if they can keep it as janky.
I thought it was not like terrible. I thought it was fine. Oh,
it's so long. I think that's my biggest problem.
It's also very stupid. And it is such
It's the worst, easily the worst. Like, there's no question to me. It's the worst, but also, like.
Still fun.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I've played a lot of, like, terrible games, so I'm like, it's all right.
Yeah,
but,
that's why I think it's because it's, like, one of the most popular franchises. Where it's like, I mean, Zelda, I think if we don't include, like, the Zelda one, I think would be fascinating because I think the rankings would be different. But again, I think it would be like Mario, where it's, like, mostly B and above.
Can you imagine if they released, like, a Zelda that was bad as Resident Evil 6? Like, just, like, mediocre. I mean, maybe they have. I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, if you kind of like the CDI,
that's the only one. The CDI one that Earl just mentioned.
I think Skyward Sword is like really close, dude. Like Skyward Sword is not Resident Evil.
It's not Resident Evil 6. No. Level,
yeah.
I don't know, dude. I honestly would disagree with you guys. Like, I think that Skyward Sword is like. Garbage, dude. I think it's like
and I really
pretty bad. Sword, so. Pretty bad. Like,
I think if the one I would think of, if any of them off the top of my head, is Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, I would.
I don't think they're bad, but that. I think they
I would go with you on that. Like, that sucks too. Fuck that fucking touchscreen shit. Like, I don't want to play like that. Fuck that.
It's also all right. That's really funny because you can hear Jeff getting drunk.
Yeah. His speech pattern is just degrading a little bit.
Wait, is Jeff drunk?
Correct. I agree that those fucking DS fucking suck ass, dude.
First one was okay. Was that the train?
Nope, that was the second one. That sucked too.
The second one was the train. Yeah,
the first one was.
I thought the first one was The Phantom Hour was okay.
No, it's not okay. It's not okay to make me play with touchscreen, dude. No. I guess the rules.
It was fun. Anyway, that's for different.
C tier at best.
Sure. I don't disagree with that. I don't think it's great. At a later date, we'll.
Are we still recording or just bullshit?
We are still recording, so
we're gonna
I feel like we ended this podcast like 45 minutes ago. What the fuck are we doing, man?
We didn't even start the tier list 45 minutes ago. Anyway, Jeff, say goodnight.
Wahoo!